the birth of the great king Maharaj Prickett, whose name, one of his names, was Vishnuratta, which means that he was protected by Krishna even when he was in the womb. So what a great personality we can expect him to be, protected directly by Krishna before he was even born. So this wonderful person, who was the son of Abhimanyu, the grandson of Arjuna, he took his birth, and all the characteristics and qualities that were predicted about him, they manifest in his personality. And when his grandfather, or there's no term for it in English, it's like a grandfather uncle, great uncle, Yudhisthira Maharaj, retired from being the king when he understood that Krishna had left this planet, left the world, then he installed Prickett Maharaj to be the king. So Prickett Maharaj was already mature in age and ability. And just at the exact moment when Krishna left the planet, Kali, the influence of Kali, the person Kali, came to this, or manifest his presence in this world. Kali Yuga began. Kali Yuga means the age of quarrel, the time that is very, very, very difficult, when everything basically goes haywire. Ignorance takes over from knowledge. Pride takes over from humility. And when someone has money, he is honored, as in previous ages when people had character or knowledge, they were honored. This is Kali Yuga. And the result of Kali Yuga is that religious principles are diminished day by day. And people are trying, they are breaking down all the barriers that were set up in the past for this is what is correct to do, this is what is incorrect to do. No, they don't want to be limited by anything. Why should we be limited by the rules, by the mores, by the practices of the past? No, we should be free to live our life and get pleasure in any way we feel. Down with the old. And in this way, people become more and more miserable. Actually, more and more miserable. More and more fraught with anxiety. Every relationship is simply one of exploitation. People have interest only in power, money, power. And in this way, everyone becomes more and more full of desires. Their minds are imagining unlimited things that they could do. And on the other hand, they are more and more unhappy, more and more difficulties. For every advance that Kali Yuga brings, there is a concomitant misery that comes along with it. There is a price for everything. So, the personality of Kali, who organizes society in such a way that ultimately everyone quarrels and quarrels and quarrels, introduces so many facilities for misery in the name of advancement, that everyone is just simply quarreling due to pride, etc. So this personality, Kali, began to do his business, to do his work, his occupational duty of causing trouble. And when Prickett Maharaj heard that Kali, the symptoms of Kali, had begun to manifest in his kingdom, he went out to find out how Kali dared to manifest and to kill him, to stop him. Because again, he was an empowered ruler. And it's interesting for us in the age of democracy to see what exactly Krishna's idea of a ruler is. Who does Krishna empower? What type of character does he want to see in a ruler? What type of government does he wish to establish? What is ideal? And how does such a person deal with nefarious forces of evil, basically, forces that cause strife? So Maharaj Prickett was that person who Krishna, it's very interesting to note that Krishna fought the battle of Kurukshetra, and one of the main reasons why Krishna actually gathered all the armies on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and so many were killed, one of the main reasons was to establish Yudhisthira, a righteous king. Because so much in society, how society is done, what happens in society, it depends on the government. When there is a good government that is righteous and has proper directions, then the people flourish. Materially, spiritually, they flourish. And when there's a bad government, on the other hand, people are in so much anxiety, materially and spiritually. So a king, he has to see to the material management. So Krishna wanted the most righteous personality on the planet, Yudhisthira, to be the king. And so many people were killed just to place Yudhisthira as the king. But soon as Krishna left, Yudhisthira renounced the kingdom and put Prickett Maharaj as the king. So Prickett Maharaj was carrying the potency, the ruling potency of Krishna. He was trained, he was a fit person, and he was empowered by Krishna due to his great devotion, his desire to serve Krishna in this way as the king. There was no question of him being the king to satisfy his lust for power or sensual enjoyment in any way. No, he was a servant, and he took the position as more or less the master of the kingdom as a servant. And how did the servant act, we will hear. So we've already heard how when he confronted Kali, who was in the beginning of the chapter, there were three or four symptoms that were described of how Kali works. The first thing is that he was dressed as a king, but he himself wasn't a man of integrity. He was a lower class person with no integrity. And this is the first symptom of Kali Yuga and how it works. People will somehow or another, by buying votes, by doing this, by doing that, by false propaganda, they will gain some office, but they have no integrity. They don't have character. They are lower class persons, uncultured, don't know what is right and don't know what is wrong. And then one of the first things that happens is the religious principles are minimized. And rather than following authorized Shastric scriptures or anything like that, they just concoct the principles of how society should be run. And the result is devastation for the people. What is thought of as good suddenly becomes old-fashioned and bad. And conversely, what is actually bad for people is honored and revered as the most wonderful thing. People self-righteously say this is our unalienable right to kill our own children in the womb. How could you take this right from us? Choice. It's an issue of choice. So something that is abominable where the issue is murder, becomes an issue of choice. The actual situation is covered by illusion. Just an example, religious principles become diminished. And that is, the bull of Dharma is beaten and is on one leg only. And Kali is beating and beating that leg too. And thirdly, first, lower class persons become the rule. Second, religious, they don't rule by religious principles, rather they rule by just their concocted ideas which turn everything upside down. And third, the cow is killed. We say that we understand from Shastra, and we've heard of course from Prabhupada, how cow's milk is so important. Milk is so important for the development of finer brain substance. And what did the scientists will come out with 5,000 reasons why you shouldn't drink milk, how it's bad for you in 100,000 ways, and instead you should do something else, soy milk, dog milk or something, goat milk. Make anything to turn everything upside down. And what should be done with the cow? The cow does something miraculous. It takes grass that we don't eat and turns it into milk which could sustain a person. It is so full of nourishment. Instead of using Krishna's simple plan, they kill the cow and want to eat the cow, even though it's such an inefficient way to eat. They want to take the blood of the cow, but the cow naturally turns the blood of its own blood into milk. So the cow will be killed, mercilessly slaughtered, so hard-hearted, so incredibly sinful and hard-hearted, heartlessly killed as animals, and they have philosophies. There's no soul. What does soul mean? Soul means it doesn't have any life, so the cow isn't alive. Such philosophies come out, and the poor people just blindly follow and suffer so much, end up suffering due to the sinful activities they perform. So it is a very sad time. So Maharaj Prickett, as the king, understood his duty was to stop this immediately. So when he found that Kali was beating the bull and beating the cow, he immediately came and stopped him. How dare you even attempt this? Do you think that because Yudhisthira Maharaj and Krishna and Arjuna are no longer on the planet, do you think there is no one here who can uphold their principles? Took out his sword and was going to kill him. Then he placated the bull. He said, "Who has done this to you? This abominable act of beating an innocent creature in a lonely place should be killed immediately." The bull replied, because he was the symbol of religion, replied, "I cannot say who has done this to me." We spoke about this at length in the previous class. There are so many philosophies that go around about in Kali Yuga about what is life and the meaning of life, that everyone, even religiosity, becomes bewildered. Ultimately, it is Krishna who allows everything to go on. So, after speaking to the bull, he continued. Maharaj Prickett continued actually to speak to the bull. In text 24, Maharaj Prickett explained, in the age of Satya, in the previous good age, the age of truthfulness, your four legs were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness. Now these are the principles of religion. These are the principles that a society should be run upon. And they are symbolized by the four legs of the bull. They were established by the four principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. Austerity, mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness. These are the principles of religion. They are not exactly religion. They are not the goal of religion. But when the society is based on these principles, true religion, devotional service, love for Krishna, naturally develops within the hearts of the citizens. And there was Kali beating these legs of the bull, beating cleanliness, smashing austerity. Practically all of society, practically its goal is to remove any austerities, to establish everyone in sense enjoyment. But no one becomes happy without these principles. But it appears, Maharaj Prickett said, that three of your legs are broken due to rampant irreligion in the form of pride, lust for women, and intoxication. Prabhupada explains in the purport. By cultural standing, the human beings previously, this is in the previous age of Satyayuga, were not at all subjected to the deluding energy. By their culture, by their very culture, they were out of maya, they were out of illusion, because the culture valued these four principles: cleanliness, austerity, mercy, and truthfulness. Such strong men of character, because these principles breed character in a person. And their opposite, pride, lust, and intoxication, completely degrade one's character. Such strong men of character were competent enough to get away from the clutches of maya. And this is the difficulty we have of getting out of maya. Our character is weak. We're determined to some degree to not fall victim to maya, to do what is proper, but our character is weak due to bad training, weakness, riddhaya dholavam, durbalyam, weakness of heart. But gradually, as the basic principles of Brahminical culture, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, became curtailed by proportionate development of pride, attachment for women, and intoxication, the path of salvation or the path of transcendental bliss retreated far, far away from human society. With the progression of the age of Kali, people are becoming very proud and attached to women and intoxication. By the influence of the age of Kali, even a pauper is proud of his penny. The women are always dressed in an overly attractive fashion to victimize the minds of men, and the man is addicted to drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, chewing tobacco, etc. So we've added quite a few etc's from drinking wine, smoking, drinking tea, and chewing tobacco to heroin, crack, cocaine, etc., etc., etc. Horrible, killing things, addictions. trying to get sense gratification, we grab these things, and these things grab us. And then even if we try to let them go, we cannot. All these habits, or so-called advancement of civilization, are the root causes of all irreligiosity, and therefore it is not possible to check corruption, bribery, nepotism. Men cannot check all these evils simply by statutory acts and police vigilance. But he can cure the disease of the mind by the proper medicine, namely advocating the principles of Brahminical culture, or the principles of austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness. So there's so much corruption, so many bad things go on in society, so many of the leaders are one after another, they're caught. But the cure for this, all the corruption, is cleanliness, mercy, austerity, and truthfulness, being the principles on which society is built. If the leaders and the rich men of the society, here's the cure that Prabhupada is recommending, spend 50% of their accumulated wealth mercifully for the misled mass of people and educate them in God consciousness, the knowledge of Bhagavatam, certainly the age of Kali will be defeated in its attempt to entrap the conditioned souls. We must always remember that false pride or too high an estimation of one's own values of life, undue attachment to women or association with them, and intoxication will divert human civilization from the path of peace, however much the people clamor for peace in the world. The preaching of the Bhagavatam's principles will automatically render all men austere, clean both inside and outside, merciful to the suffering, and truthful in daily behavior. That is the way of correcting the flaws of human society, which are very prominently exhibited at the present moment. So Maharaj Prickett saw this bull was only on three of its legs were practically broken and crippled by the beating of Kali. So he said, "You are now standing on one leg only, which is your truthfulness, and you are somehow or another hobbling along." So there's still a remnant of truthfulness left in society. But that leg too, but Quarrel, personified Kali, flourishing by deceit, is also trying to destroy that leg. So whatever little is left is waning so quickly. So then, after speaking and to the bull, and by the powerful words that Maharaj Prickett spoke, he removed the fear and the suffering of the bull, of Dharma, religiosity, the bull. And then he turned his attention to Bhumi Devi, the earth personified in the form of a cow, and said that the earth, the difficulties that the earth had been feeling previously had been removed when Krishna had appeared on this planet and graced this earth by his lotus feet. But with Krishna gone, now the earth was being exploited by low-class personalities posing as rulers. They are thinking only how to exploit the earth. They're unabashedly using that word, exploiting natural resources. No one likes to be exploited. Please, let's go together and I'm going to exploit you. No one likes to be exploited. That means used with no consideration of your needs, but used for the pleasures of another. But people are exploiting, determined, unabashedly, unshyly, determined to exploit the earth. and all the resources of the earth. And the result of that is so much difficulty in the world, from global warming to this problem to that problem. So much difficulty, the pollutions of the world. The air is polluted, the water is polluted, people's minds are polluted. This, again, is due to the lower class rulers. So then, after making it very clear to the earth that he understood her position, how difficult it was for her, Maharaj Prakrit pulled out his sword, and his sharp sword, and he prepared to immediately kill the personality of Kali, the personality of quarrel, who so much degrades, whose business is to cause difficulty, to degrade everyone. But then, this Kali, who was dressed as a king with the gold embroidered robes of a king, understood who he was facing. And he threw off his robes and he submitted himself before Maharaj Prakrit, and he begged him for mercy, saying, "I surrender to you, I am under your shelter." This is one of the principles of a Kshatriya. That when someone takes shelter of him, regardless of who he is, he gives him shelter. Not in a foolish way, but he gives him shelter. We heard this when this was the prediction of Maharaj Prakrit, that he would be like Maharaj Sibi. Remember that story of Maharaj Sibi, how the pigeon was being chased by the hawk, and the pigeon and took shelter of that king, and the hawk demanded the pigeon, and the king said, "How can I give him to you? He's taken shelter of me." Said, "Then I must eat some meat." He said, "Okay, I'll give you my own flesh." So the pigeon and the hawk were both demigods, and the pigeon actually became, pigeons of course are so light, they're light as a feather. But yet, there wasn't enough, his whole body, the king's body was just enough to equalize the weight of the pigeon. And then when he was ready to give himself, to sacrifice his own life, to protect one who took shelter of him, then the pigeon and the hawk revealed their identities. But this was the mood of a king. Not the ruler who says, "Okay, boys, go out and fight," and then he stays home and he hides. No. He's willing to do anything to even give up his own life for the protection of each and every citizen. So therefore the citizens loved him so much naturally. They naturally saw the king as a hero, because he was a hero. He was a hero. For a principle of integrity, of his character, he would sacrifice anything, even his own life. This was Maharaj Prakrit. So he had that principle of integrity, that if someone takes shelter of me, then I will protect him, even if the protection is from me. So that sword of Maharaj Prakrit, which no one could escape from, by his taking shelter, Kali saved himself. He was spared due to his surrender. So then, of course, Maharaj Prakrit wasn't foolish. So he told him that we have inherited, text 31, we have inherited the fame of Arjuna. Therefore, since you have surrendered yourself with folded hands, you need not fear for your life. But you cannot remain in my kingdom, for you are the friend of irreligion. If the personality of Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as a man god, what is the word? Naradeva. Naradeva means king. The literal translation is, he's somewhere between man god. He's somewhere between a man and a god. And this is actually a fact. When you have kings like this, they are men, they are certainly human beings, but they are carrying a potency that is greater than them. And because of that fact, that royalty is supposed to do that, as soon as we hear about royalty, even though they're people, immediately our attention is attracted. Because they are meant to be carrying the potency of Krishna for this purpose of ruling with powerful integrity and character. So Maharaj Prickett said, you cannot stay in my kingdom, because if Kali, irreligion, is allowed to act as the king or the executive head, certainly irreligious principles, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, and vanity will abound. Prabhupada's purport. The principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, that we have already discussed, may be followed by the followers of any faith. There is no need to turn from Hindu to Mohammedan to Christian or to some other faith and thus become a renegade and not follow the principles of religion. The Bhagavatam religion urges following the principles of religion. The principles of religion are not the dogmas or regulative principles of a certain faith. Such regulative principles may be different in terms of the time and place concerned. One has to see whether the aims of religion have been achieved. Sticking to the dogmas and formulas without attaining the real principle is not good. A secular state may be impartial to any particular type of faith, but the state cannot be indifferent to the principles of religion as above mentioned. But in the age of Kali, the executive heads of state will be indifferent to such religious principles. In the name of a secular state, they will forget all religiosity. And because all religious principles are forgotten and neglected, the austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy, because these are neglected as the foundational principles that a state is run on, all corruption, all vanity, treachery, incivility, misfortune, cheating, quarrel, falsehood, robbery. This is what goes on. So what the state must do is, even though they may not say everyone must follow this particular faith, they don't have to say that. But what they should say, what they must say, is that everyone must follow the principles of religion, regardless what your religious faith is. There are many different religious faiths, and religions they come at different times, spoken to different people according to the particular circumstances. But the principles of religion, austerity, cleanliness, truthfulness, and mercy, are common to all religions. So these principles must be stressed. But in the age of Kali, the executive heads of state will be indifferent to such religious principles, and therefore, under their patronage, the opponents of religious principles, such as greed, falsehood, cheating, and pilfering, will naturally follow. So there will be no meaning to propaganda crying to stop corruption in the state. Not by law. Not by 100 laws. Not by education even. Unless the education is directed toward these principles of religion. So therefore Maharaj Prickett told Kali, you cannot stay in my kingdom. Because in this kingdom, We are performing sacrifices. We are performing religious activities meant for Krishna's pleasure. The entire kingdom is basically run in such a way that Krishna will be pleased. So you cannot stay here, because when you are here, when irreligion is present, then so many horrible things will manifest. So then, Kali was stuck. His life was spared. But Maharaj Prickett said, you cannot live in my kingdom. But the difficulty that Kali faced was Maharaj Prickett was the king of the world. So where could he go? He couldn't engage in his nefarious activities in any place. So therefore, the personality of Kali, thus being ordered by Maharaj Prickett, text 35, began to tremble in fear, because Kali has a particular nature. There's a story about one holy man. He saw a scorpion who was within, he was caught in the waters of a river. A scorpion. So he thought, oh, the scorpion is going to drown. So let me take him out. Let me rescue him. So he put his hand out, and he put his hand down into the water, and he picked up the scorpion and saved him from drowning. And immediately the scorpion stung him and bit him. So he didn't say anything. He put the scorpion down and went on his way. He was with a friend who was very amazed by that, because naturally, at least we would tend to do, is if after all I've done for you, you do this to me. So he walked, and the sadhu kept on walking, and his friend was amazed. An equipoised person. So he walked further along the river bank, and lo and behold, he saw another scorpion in the water. So the sadhu saw that the scorpion, second scorpion, was going to drown. So he put his hand in the water, and he picked up the scorpion and saved him. And the scorpion bit him. He stung him. So his friend said, my dear sir, oh, Sadhu Maharaj, you knew he was going to do that. Why did you do that? Why did you show him such kindness? You knew he was just going to sting you. And the sadhu said, I was following my nature, which is to be kind and merciful, and he was following his nature. So there was no fault. So Kali had a nature like a scorpion. It is not that the scorpion could act in any other way than a scorpion, nor the sadhu could act in another way other than being a sadhu. That's what he was. So Kali only has one gear, so to speak, and that is trouble and misfortune causing these things, and corruption and cheating. So he began to tremble in fear, because he saw the king before him with his sword raised, and the king said, you have to go. But there was nowhere for him to go, and he had a particular nature, and he knew he was going to engage in his mischief, and he knew what would happen if he engaged in that mischief. That he would, wherever he would go, he would see Prickett Maharaj with his sword. So he couldn't be anywhere, do anything peacefully. And he was surrendered. He was at the feet of Prickett Maharaj. So he said, oh, your majesty, though I may live anywhere and everywhere under your order, I shall but see you with bow and arrows wherever I look, and sword raised. Therefore, O chief amongst the protectors of religion, please fix some place for me. Give me some place in your kingdom where I can permanently live under the protection of your government. Where can I live in your kingdom? Where can Kali live? Where can all the confusion and distress, where will it dwell in the best of kingdoms? So Maharaj Prickett, thus being petitioned by the personality of Kali, gave him permission to reside in four places. The places where gambling, drinking, prostitution, and animal slaughter were performed. Maharaj Prickett said, you go live there. Now, we'll read some of Prabhupada's purport. Following in the footsteps of Maharaj Prickett, it is the duty of all executive heads of state to see that the principles of religion, namely austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, are established in the state, and that the principles of irreligion, namely pride, illicit female association or prostitution, intoxication, and falsity, are checked by all means. And to make the best use of a bad bargain, the personality of Kali may be transferred to places of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and slaughterhouses, if there are any places like that. Those who are addicted to these irreligious habits may be regulated by the injunctions of the scripture. In no circumstance should they be encouraged by any state. In other words, the state should categorically stop all sorts of gambling, drinking, prostitution, and falsity. The state which wants to eradicate corruption by majority may introduce the principles of religion in the following manner. And then Prabhupada lists some principles that that he's advising some that the heads of state follow if they want the state to be run in a proper way. And here they are. This is austerity. The two compulsory fasting days in a month, if not more, for austerity. Even from the economic point of view, such two fasting days in a month in the state will save tons of food, and the system will also act very favorably on the general health of the citizens. Those are called ekadasi. Two, there must be compulsory marriage of young boys and girls attaining 24 years of age and 16 years of age respectively. There is no harm in coeducation in the schools and colleges, provided the boys and girls are duly married. And in case there is any intimate connection between a male and a female student, they should be married properly without illicit relation. The Divorce Act is encouraging prostitution, and this should be abolished. Three, the citizens of the state, just imagine if you were running for office and these two were your first two platforms. If I'm elected, it'll be compulsory marriage for all the school kids above the ages of 16 and 24. Oh, but how much anxiety those poor children would be saved from. Because the coeducation in school just puts the boys and the girls in so much anxiety at a young age. So much suffering would be avoided by this principle. Three. And if those two didn't sink you, the third one would. The citizens of the state must give in charity up to 50% of their income for the purpose of creating a spiritual atmosphere in the state or in human society, both individually and collectively. Even the devotees wouldn't vote for him on this one. They should preach the principles of Bhagavatam by karma yoga or doing everything for the satisfaction of the Lord. These are the two principles. Regular hearing of the Srimad Bhagavatam from authorized persons or realized souls. So this is how the money should be used to propagate these principles. That people should, karma yoga, people should do everything for the Lord. 2, the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam. 3, chanting of the glories of the Lord congregationally at home or in places of worship. D, rendering, 4, rendering all kinds of service to the Bhagavatas, engaged in preaching Srimad Bhagavatam. And E, 5, residing in a place where the atmosphere is saturated with God consciousness. If the state is regulated, if these principles are exalted, propagated as very high and wonderful in the state, naturally there'll be God consciousness everywhere. And then gambling of all descriptions, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading. That means all the whole contemporary society is based on the stock markets, etc. Degrading, because people earn money without working, and therefore they don't know the value of money even. And what to speak of, they're unhealthy, because one needs to work to be healthy. And secondly, they always in such anxiety, because one never knows what's going to happen next. Today it's up, tomorrow it's down. So much anxiety. So one can't be healthy because of the anxiety too. So gambling of all descriptions, even speculative business enterprise, is considered to be degrading. And when gambling is encouraged in the state, there is a complete disappearance of truthfulness. Allowing young boys and girls to remain unmarried more than the above-mentioned ages and licensing animal slaughterhouses of all descriptions should be at once prohibited. The flesh eaters may be allowed to take flesh as mentioned in the scriptures and not otherwise. Intoxication of all description, even smoking cigarettes, chewing tobacco, or the drinking of tea must be prohibited. So when Kali heard this, that you can have 4 places to live, the places where there are gambling, intoxication, illicit sex, and the slaughtering of animals, realized that Maharaj Prickett was cheating him, because these places didn't exist in his kingdom. So he asked for one more thing. Because of his begging, the king gave him permission to live where there is gold. Because wherever there is gold, there is also falsity, intoxication, lust, envy, and enmity. Prabhupada's purport explains. Although Maharaj Prickett gave Kali permission to live in 4 places, it was very difficult for him to find the places, because during the reign of Maharaj Prickett, there were no such places. Therefore, Kali asked the king to give him something practical which could be utilized for his nefarious purposes. Maharaj Prickett thus gave him permission to live in a place where there is gold. Because wherever there is gold, there are all the above mentioned 4 things. And over and above them, there is enmity also. Enmity caused by envy. So the personality of Kali became gold standardized. According to Srimad Bhagavatam, gold encourages falsity, intoxication, prostitution, envy, and enmity. Prabhupada continues to explain in the purport how the currencies of the world, he criticizes the gold standard of currency, and that we can't even remember what that is, but the gold standard of currency means that when a country would issue some banknotes, and the idea was that gold is dangerous and too heavy to carry around, so the country would issue banknotes. But theoretically, they're supposed to have the gold to back up the currency, and therefore the paper was like a promise from the government that if you want, you can get your gold for this piece of paper. I'm promising you that. So the gold, the paper actually would have real value. But naturally, because it's Kali Yuga, the governments began cheating. So from gold coins went to the gold standard of currency, which it was an equal amount of gold for the piece of paper or plastic, as the case may be. And then what happened was, since the government had to have more money, what would they do? And they didn't have more gold, they didn't have more riches, so they just printed. Now, if you wanted more money and you decided to print it, you would be put in jail. Now, they're the only people who can do it legally. And they do it. So then what happens is there's twice as much paper value than the actual gold. And the cheating has begun. And then when the government wants some new project and they run out of money, they just print more. So then it becomes, they have 3 to 1, and then more, and then they have 10 to 1, and then 100 to 1. And then it's becoming so ludicrous, then they change to silver standard. And then they sell the gold, because silver is less expensive. And actually what happened is the value of the paper goes down. So people need more and more money to just survive. Prabhupada would explain that when he was young, for 4 annas, which was 60 paisa, they'd get like a week's, which is now there's 25 rupees to the Aussie dollar, about 40 to the US dollar approximately. So for like 4 cents or 3 cents, one could get food for a week. So even a poor person, a person who didn't have a big income or anything like that, there's no problem for him to eat or have a comfortable place to sleep. People lived in ancestral, their bhari, their ancestral homes. And everyone had some land. Even a poor person had land, a place to live. And for 4 annas, this was only 80 years ago, say. Less. 80-90 years ago, like that. 80 years ago, say. So for 60 cents, you could buy food for the week. Not 60 cents, 3 cents or something like that. Food for the week. So 90% of anxiety was gone. And then from the silver standard, or whatever it is, now the countries, they just sell their gold, so they don't have anything backing up their paper. And then they're really planning on getting rid of the paper completely and just had one plastic piece, and it's all theoretical, the money passing back and forth. But it's all a bluff because there's nothing behind it. It's like a big hot air balloon that keeps getting full of more and more air until... So this causes so much inflation, more anxiety in that way, so much difficulty. This is the cheating, the falsity, the envy that comes. The beginning of it all, when gold becomes the essence of life. So that's where Kali lives. Those 4 places plus the gold. So Maharaj Prickett gave Kali permission to live in those 5 places. And then there's a very important point that Sutta Goswami says, because Kali, quarrel, lives in those 5 places where there is meat eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex, and where gold is hoarded. Therefore, in text 41, he says, whoever desires progressive well-being, especially kings, religionists, public leaders, brahmanas, sannyasis, should never come in contact with the four above mentioned irreligious principles. In other words, anyone who is supposed to, who the society relies on for their character and integrity, has to stay aloof from these five things. The fifth one, gold, though, has a special value. The fifth one, gold, can be used in Krishna's service. And Prabhupada explains that in purported text 42. Spending 50% for the service of the Lord or for propagation of spiritual knowledge in society by way of the Sankirtan Jagya is the maximum display of human mercy. People of the world are generally in darkness regarding spiritual knowledge, especially in regard to the devotional service of the Lord. And therefore, to propagate the systematic transcendental knowledge of devotional service is the greatest mercy that one can show in this world. When everyone is taught to sacrifice 50% of his accumulated gold for the Lord's service, certainly, austerity, cleanliness, and mercy automatically ensue. And thus, the lost three legs of the personality of religion are automatically established. When there's sufficient austerity, cleanliness, mercy, and truthfulness, naturally, Mother Earth is completely satisfied, and there is very little chance for Kali to infiltrate the structure of human society. So Maharaj Prickett, thus, he reestablished the broken principles, the broken legs of the principles of religiosity, of Dharma the Bull, and that way he improved the condition of the earth. So in this way, Maharaj Prickett continued the glories of the dynasty in which he was born, the Kuru Pandava dynasty, as was predicted by the astrologers at the time of his birth. Now, I would like to play one short segment of a tape at this point. Why don't we put it on, where Prabhupada describes how the Krishna consciousness movement means the end of the irreligious system of society, just for the reason that we are against these things. And also we have to be very careful about these things ourselves, that we don't allow Kali to infiltrate ourselves, our community, our society like that. Let me put on the tape.
By his father.
Prahlad Maharaj was asked by his father.
So he replied that Naishamatistavukramani, this Krishna consciousness cannot be developed. Pishak, the anatta upasamojana. Krishna consciousness, development of Krishna consciousness means anatta upasama. Anatta means things we do not require. Artha anatta. Artha means which is essentially required. And anatta means which is not required, artificially we have requisition. So when one grows his Krishna consciousness, immediately his artificial life becomes finished. Bhakti parasana bhava virakti annatasya. This is the symptom of development of Krishna consciousness, that he is not any more interested for material, unnecessary things. This is the test. If one is increasing Krishna consciousness, at the same time he has got full attachment for material things, that means he is controlling. Material things means ahara, nidra, vayava, itinanta, eating, sleeping, making, and depending. So, sometimes the Burmese are afraid of this Krishna consciousness movement because they know that as soon as one becomes Krishna conscious, he is no more interested in this material thing. Just like we say, don't eat meat. So, actually, if all people become Krishna conscious and give up meat eating, then the slaughterhouse will be closed automatically. We say, no meat eating and no intoxication. All people become Krishna conscious and give up drinking and smoking, the big business, breweries and cigarette manufacturers will be closed. Similarly, no illicit sex. People take to Krishna consciousness, then so many brothers and clubs and nudies and everything will be closed. So they are afraid of their business. Therefore they don't encourage this movement. Because ultimately if this movement goes on, then where they stand? Everywhere we go, the advertisement is for intoxication, for sex, and for meat eating. These are the advertisements. Business is going on very nice. But Krishna consciousness means virakti annatasya. If one tastes Krishna consciousness like the dust, mahiyasana padaro yogi seka. Krishna consciousness cannot be developed unless one takes the dust of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. This was Pradhan Maharaj's remark. In other words, unless one comes in contact with a pure devotee, Krishna consciousness cannot be developed.
So that is what Prabhupada wished of the of his International Society for Krishna Consciousness, to develop so many pure devotees and thus spread Krishna consciousness throughout the world and change society by establishing principles of religion by the potency of the devotees' Krishna consciousness. So that's the end of chapter 17. There are two more chapters in this canto. And it is quite amazing that although the world so much depended upon the great King Maharaj Prickett, Krishna arranged a pastime to remove him from this world. So why in the world would Krishna do such a thing? What did he want to give the world? What did he desire so much to give the world that he was willing to remove Maharaj Prickett from the world? And we'll hear that pastime. We'll start that tomorrow when we begin chapter 18. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. So, and there's no, sorry, late.